You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kolula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is your host with the most, Nikki Kolula. We're going to jump right into this episode. We are welcoming back one of our former guests, and she's been doing all kinds of things, music-oriented, and we're happy to have her back. Miss Powell, how are you, SJ?
I'm good. I'm here. I'm alive in this crazy world.
I know you've been working on Netflix deadlines and music composition. And all kinds of stuff. Let's talk a little bit about that first. You have some cool things going on. You're one of the composers for Netflix. Are you doing animation, live action? What are you doing?
I'm part of a team called Music Lab. And so we're kind of like problem solvers for all things. If there's music for a trailer needed, or if there's a cue that isn't working in a show, or a marketing asset, all kinds of things, taking known titles like Squid Game or Stranger Things and aligning them with other brands. We did something for Duolingo where I did a K-pop remix of the Squid Game theme, and that was a whole thing. So it's really varied, though. It's like it's all over the place, but we're basically all things music related and music problem solvers.
What is the shortest deadline you have received? I know you've gotten many.
Oh, man. Netflix are usually pretty good, but I've had plenty of other deadlines where they're like, you know, you get it 8 p.m. before and they want it by 12 p.m. the next day. Crazy. You know, and it's like, come on.
Like, I've dealt in that world, and it's like,
yeah.
Seeing how many people... kind of, I don't know if it's like you, like either somebody drops the ball or they don't have their act together, or it's like just artists being artists that are like, oh, we just had to finish this trailer. This is the last thing. We need music. It's like.
Yeah, I think music is the last thing to be put in. And even though it constitutes really 50% of any project, because right. What we're hearing and its context, it's the always the last thing to be put in. So you run into deadlines because everything else is done. But, you know, that it really depends on who the work is coming through, though. Netflix are pretty good. Like, we get a decent runtime. And every now and then, if it's a tight deadline, it's because we're trying to help somebody out with an issue that was unexpected or something like that. But it's cool. There was one week where I kept taking off hats and putting different ones on. And it was Sesame Street, A Last Samurai trailer from Japan, Queer Eye, like a bunch of different assets all in one day. So
that's fun, though. I mean, it makes it interesting. So it's never the same thing, but also it makes it complicated because it's never the same thing.
It's so fun. Like, I'm better when I have crazy deadlines and lots to do. If I don't have much to do and I have so much time to do my own projects, right, I can't finish it for some reason. It's super weird. I will procrastinate until the cows come home if you give me too much leeway. If you keep it, you know, we need it now, come on. And I need people to be accountable, basically. Otherwise, I'll just fuck
around. You like being in the hot seat.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so. It's, you know, motion stays in motion kind of thing. Once you stop, then you just stop.
Ask you a producer question. Are you bouncing things in 24:48 because it's visual, or are they doing that?
It is. So I'll always score to picture for presentation purposes, which is 24:48. But then you often are bouncing stems and then you're handing everything over to them. I don't mix sound design and music.
Okay.
In that's the sound design part will be somebody else to mix. So I'll mix the score to picture, give them a reference with the dialogue and the sound design. Sometimes I'll dip it for dialogue, but that's not my, you know, expertise. So somebody else will do that. A sound mixer will do that.
Well, that's also that maybe they want that consistency too. So it's like, you know, like you're not just, if you're working on, let's say, 2 minutes of something, they want it all to be, you know, all consistent. So it makes sense if somebody's overseeing all.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's just good for context. You know, it's the same with a lot of things. Like, you don't know until you see it. It sounds good. It sounds great. But then I need to see it in the context. It's like checking your mixes in the car so you can get different, you know, perspective.
Do you ever hear like mixes where you're like, man, I wouldn't have done that, or that's so different. I mean, I feel like that's, I work with a lot of DJs and I feel like I get that the most when I hear the DJ's final master. I'm like, man, that is not the mix that I would have done, but okay, that's cool. You know, so I'm sure too, you know,
there's been a few recently where, oh man, there was a Mary J. Blige record I heard that the mix was horrible. I can't even remember the title of it now, but like, I love her and her vocals were awesome. Like, everything she was doing was classic Mary J. Blige. The record was like throwback 90s feels, but the mix was just, it ruined it for me. It definitely wasn't Bob Power doing that. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And then I heard the Georgia Smith record recently. Again, I love her. And the idea and the arrangement and the instrumentation was great, but the drums were mixed like they were in a cardboard box.
Right.
And I was like, that one, someone not knowing how to mix something like that and maybe just chucking it out full compression. They've used Splice for most of the track and they've stuck a mastering plug-in on it. And you can tell, you know.
Yeah. Yes. And it's like, it's one of those things where most people won't be able to tell. But musicians, people that work in the world of it, will be able to tell like right away. It's like it's crazy what also gets passed through by either managers or agents or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, go, and then when you hear it, you're like, really? This is it? It's like, it's so bizarre to me.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually had one or two circumstances where I did demo mixes on records and the artist put it out and it wasn't mixed.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah. And it wasn't mixed. It was the demo monitor mix. So there was a couple of issues there. Because, you know, it's not necessarily just about, oh, you know, musicians can hear it and it's jarring for us. I think it will bother other people. They just don't know. They won't know what it is. But they'll just next. They won't necessarily know why it's jarring or why, if they turn it up, they feel like they're getting a nosebleed. You know, it's just, they don't know that it's the mix or the drums or whatever it is. They'll just be okay next, you know.
I want to ask you a little bit of a loaded question because I know you've had to endure a lot being a female producer and an artist. And I kind of want to know, like, what do you think was one of the hardest obstacles for you to walk into any room and to be taken seriously? Because you're a great artist. You're a great singer, producer, musician. But I know you walk into a room full of, like, maybe 7 or 8 other musicians or producers or singers or artists or whatever, and there's immediate egos in the room. There's a lot of like competition. There's a lot of sizing up, a lot of that. Tell me, as a female producer, and I want you to be candid and honest because I already know you're a badass and I endure some bullshit, but tell me, like, what are those obstacles or what some of those situations have been like, just so some of our listeners can understand, like, what it is to be a female producer and to actually ascend and be successful at it.
Well, I'll start with 2 positive things. It's getting slightly better.
That's good. Like,
I thought it was getting a lot better, but I recently spoke to some young Swedish female producers. I went out to speak at a music school in Sweden a couple of months ago, and they were like, it's still terrible. And I'm like, oh my God, you guys are like 20 or more years younger than me. How is this still bad? Right. But I would say for me, I think it's gotten a little better. And also, I haven't experienced as much of that kind of preconceived prejudice in the TV world.
That's good.
Although the statistics are still only 3% of all movies are scored by women. But also, I'm sure we had this conversation 6 years ago. I'm sure it was the same statistics. Only 2% of all records out there are produced by women. So 2%, 3%. So the stats are still really crappy, but I have felt like it wasn't a big deal in the TV and film world. I've felt very embraced, like, you're not a female producer, you're a producer. We're hiring Sammy to do something, and it hasn't really come up. But yeah, in music and making records over the years, it's been pretty scandalous.
It's a female artist. I always walk them through the entire process, and even if it interests them or it doesn't interest them, and I say, listen, I want you to learn every part of this, because to be a female producer that competes with all of the other male producers or male artists, just because it is an anomaly to see a female producer kicking ass, and it shouldn't be, because every female artist is just as able as a male artist. And I think the same way with things. So it's interesting to see it's awesome when they inquire, when they're asking questions about mixing or mastering or the process of recording. And it's yes, this is all these are all the things. And I actually think in a lot of ways, one thing I do think that's promising, I feel like younger female artists are more excited and prone to wanting to learn producing than male artists, which I think is...
Oh, that's interesting.
So I think there's a weird, a change that's going to be a much more gradual change that'll take time. But I see a lot of the young male artists that I'm producing aren't as interested in being producers. And the young female artists I'm producing are, super open to it and, wanting to learn to produce stuff themselves. So I think it's awesome. I think it will change, but that percentage needs to be higher. It needs to be higher. It just needs to be.
Well, also, I like to encourage women to do that stuff because it gives you different streams of income, and now in these times, in this world, you have to do several different things.
Right.
And if they can all be under the umbrella of music, then you're definitely succeeding. Yeah. So if you can record your own vocals, there's so many amazing female songwriters out there, but many of them can't record their own vocals, so then they're going to lose certain gigs because of that. I'll definitely take someone who can write the top line, cut their own vocals, send me the stems for me to mix, over someone that needs to come over to my place and I have to record them. And half the time I don't have time either. It's different if you're producing an artist for their record, then of course I want to be all about it. But when it's jobs, I need something for a commercial or a trailer or anything like that, you want to be more self-sufficient. I mean, if the only string in my bow was songwriting, I'm not sure I would be making a living.
I think you would be. I think you...
I don't know, man. Streaming monies is skimpy.
It's crazy. And it's one of those things where, what I was just having this debate with an artist that I haven't seen in about 20 years. And we just were catching up and he's like, man, it's crazy how much the revenue has changed just from albums to streaming.
Yeah,
and it is. But I mean, there's also other ways where it pops up in a different way. But I mean, artists are struggling when it's just being a recording artist. So I think you do have to pivot. And I think you're already making the pivots. Tell me what you think of, who are the female artists that you're just, inspired by, female producers you're inspired by, that, you know, and I love this question because it's like, these are the people that make you want to, okay, I need to keep working. I need to keep hustling. Mm. Artists or producers for you?
There's one artist that makes me want to do better and also give up simultaneously. And that's Yeba. I just think she's
awesome.
Phenomenal. Just every part of that woman is, you know, she's just amazing. Gosh, a new artist, it's tough. I'm definitely on a bit of a Georgia Smith kick at the moment, because I was looking for something different. But at the same time, I like Beatrix. I'm not sure if she produces her own stuff or if I'm even saying her name right. She has a tune called Paranoid that I think is really cool. And there's a couple of sort of guitar-y, folky, alternative pop type things moving around that remind me of some of the 90s Jonathan Brooks style. Ooh. Records, which I really like that. Ooh, one artist I really think is amazing. Again, I don't know if she produces her own stuff, is Griff, an artist out of the UK. I think she's amazing. His songs are, you know, great storytelling. There's a lot. There's a lot of, like, you know, on the R&B side, I love Leon Thomas. Like, every time I hear something I like in the R&B field, it is always him. I look and I'm like, oh, it's Leon. Everything's Leon Thomas. There's another artist called Goldford that I really like. I always go back to Sheryl Crow. Always, yeah. You know, she's like the default button for songwriting, production, just independent badassery. And I've always been pretty inspired by her.
Yeah, you know, I've met her once, only for a
question.
And it was really kind of just a quick moment where she was coming in with all these shopping bags, and hey, and I was just like, oh my god, hey, what's going on? I didn't
say,
but I just saw her at the Crossroads Music Festival, and she's up against like Clapton, Gary Clark Jr., like all of these amazing artists, and she's one of the best.
Yeah,
like, her band, her song,
yeah,
the best performances, and I was like, she threw down like pretty hard.
Yeah, she always does.
And she always does. But what was so cool about that performance, it was all of these guitar heavy hitters, old artists. And then she came out and just destroyed. It was just so well done. And I was just so impressed. So she always has something to kind of like throw into the, like, she throws the gauntlet down. She knows like how, where it's like, hey, I'm going to do this and you're going to wish you wrote it or sang it or played it, and she does it every time. So
That's what I mean, every single time. And that's, I felt the same way about her since I was probably 18, I think.
Yes, awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's your process. What do you usually start with? Do you start with chords? Do you kind of write with a melody first? Tell me what your creative process is like.
It's changed over the years. It used to always be chords and the track, usually, or at least piano, you know, just starting there with chords. And in the last couple of years, I've started with melodies and concepts or titles, or sometimes just words and then the melody, and then shape the vowels and see what fits, and then try and match the chords with what I'm hearing in my head. But I didn't used to do it that way. It used to always be chords first, because I'm a piano player before anything else. Right. I didn't really start to sing until I was like 15 or 16. You know, I'm not someone who like grew up singing, but I did grow up playing for singers.
And I think you used to classical music, is that right?
To a point. Like, I started classical when I was about 4 years old, but I sort of stopped around the age of 10 or 11 to 12. I can't remember now, something like that. So my musical theory could be a lot better. It's in there.
But I mean, I think it's like you just generally like gravitate towards a songwriter or an artist that you love hearing, and then you just start taking off with chords or like just learning the songs. Do you learn other people's songs, or are you just kind of like writing constantly where you just, your output is just way heavier than your, than learning something?
Yes, it's the latter, because it kind of feels, I'm really grateful to be busy and to be working, because it does go in waves. Like the first half of this year was not busy at all. And then the second half was like crazy busy. But yeah, I don't often learn other people's songs. And I probably should, because then I could be the cool chick at parties and play and sing songs that everybody knows. And I don't do that. So yeah, I should probably just spend more time playing for the sake of playing, which would be really luxurious and lovely. But what has been my process recently? Well, until the fires happened, I used to walk along Carbon Beach a lot just by myself and see what came through. And I would get tons of melodies and lyrics that way. And then I'd go and sit and put it in my phone and then take it all home. And I haven't done that walk since January 8th. I've been out there, you know, and sat out there, but I haven't walked along the beach because it's kind of gutting to see what's not there now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's traumatic. I had a lot of friends. This person I just had coffee with today said he lost his place. And it's like,
yeah,
it's like one of those things where it's going to take a long time for it to heal. But, you know, the one thing that is constant, it is nature. It is creativity. Yeah. All those things that we kind of like use to kind of cope with some of those things that are happening either to ourselves or other people. So continue to take that walk and stay creative. Let's play some music of yours. What do you want to play first?
I guess we could go with Paper Hearts. It was a single I put out. It was actually written. It's a culmination of different things. It was written in, I think, 2020, actually. I didn't put it out till years later. And it was about how polarized we were and how everyone's just trying their best. And I was, you know, going through thyroid cancer and a whole bunch of things.
Wow.
And now it's even more polarized than it was. And so I kind of feel like, can we all just take a minute and just notice that everyone's really doing their best. There's some curious ways that people think they're getting there. But let's, you know, I think most of us are just really trying our hardest to, you know, to show up the right way in the world. And so that's what Paper Hearts is about. And it's sort of me admitting that one of the lyrics is I understand as such that I don't understand that much.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
And I feel like that a lot.
I think we all. Let's listen to it. Here's SJ with Paper Hearts.
Who forgot to lock the gate? The horse is gone. I don't think she'll be back again. You up at night, 'cause I'm awake by your side. I understand it, but I don't understand it much. We're just
great song. That was awesome. You have to promise me something. You have to promise me something.
What's that?
No matter what you do with Netflix and you continue to do all this, you have to keep releasing music. You have to keep releasing videos. And I mean it, because it's like I'm seeing, you know, a friend of mine that I just went out to coffee with today, he said, yeah, you know, I just kind of like lost my love for music and making records, because it just wasn't giving me that impact. Like, I wasn't getting that impact. But he's like, I came back to it because it's who I am too, and it's what I love. And it's like, that is what we love, and it is what we do, and it is like one of the most raw parts of creating art. So I hope you never stop making records.
Thank you.
Videos. Like, don't stop, because that was a beautiful song, a great video. Tell me a little bit about the concept of the music video.
It was this Polish director called Kasper Skoron, and we did a trade. He was like, I need my reel scored. If you score my reel, I'll make you a video for your song. So we did that, and then it was just a case of like, okay, we have a couple of hours, you know, because it's like budgets and independent artistry and all of that. We have a couple of hours in this one studio. Who's available to come down? And he had this concept of, you know, just everyone kind of merging into making up one body. You know, we are all one kind of thing.
Love it.
So it was, you know, just people trading and doing each other favors and showing up and that kind of thing. And so it worked out pretty good. But yeah, thanks for saying that. I appreciate that. Sometimes you lose sight and just time flies and you're busy paying your bills, you know.
Easy. And I find that all artists go through this. It's like, it's easy for you to kind of like look at like, what am I getting out of doing this? What am I? And it's like, it's so much bigger than that. We forget like what a song do for people, especially, you know, at the end of the day, we work on music, but I mean, it's a gift. It's a gift that was given to us. We don't know why. We don't know why we were given that gift. The only thing you can do is just keep pursuing it and like creating and kind of enhancing that gift. But really, it's like a lot of artists, I feel sad when artists feel like, oh, I'm not getting what I think I should, because the industry has just changed so much. And it's like, it just,
right.
And so I understand why artists aren't making records or artists aren't making videos or putting songs out, because it's like, it's easy to ask those things. But at the same time, you know, it inspires other artists to make things.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things at play as well, because you're right. Like, I use music to take me out of a mood that I don't want to be in, or help me to get through something that I need to process. You know, we articulate emotions for people when they can't articulate it for themselves, and help them either celebrate or move through something or just be, show up in the world. But I think we do lose sight of that. And I don't know how you feel as like a male artist, but I know for female artists as to get older, like myself and a couple of friends, you know, who speak a lot about this, is like, as you are aging as a woman and getting over a certain, you know, you're not in the pop star lane anymore that you used to be in. And then you're in the like hot, but a little bit older. And then you go past maybe that. And then it's like, oh, okay. So now we're here. Does anybody one care about what I have to say? You know, is everyone's just hotter and younger and shinier. And, you know, so you go through all of that stuff as well. I'm sure men do too, but obviously, you know, I hear it more from women. But
I was just saying, you know, we used to bring 1,000 people to our shows at the house.
Oh man, that's
I know, I have so much, and you know, and now our numbers aren't that, because all of our fans have kids, and it's like,
So
like, I'm 46, and it's like I'm experiencing that. Like, oh, okay, I'm not that 20 something. I'm not that 30. Like, when you're in your 40s and your 50s and beyond, it's like you're really tested as to like why you do this. And that's also when the best songs, I think, come out. It's like,
totally.
I mean, there's like this dichotomy of like, oh, I'm not getting the same fanfare, but yet I'm still going to do this. I'm still going to like pursue this. And like, by doing that, the gift or whatever it is, the universe drops these songs into your life that you're like, my God, I wouldn't written this as a 20. I wouldn't have written this as a
20. Totally. So absolutely. I'm definitely the best I've been in many ways. I think we just get hung up on the visuals.
Yes.
Because I think there was a time, you know, back in the day, it used to be supermodels and magazines and Vogue. And, you know, and then we were like, we seem to be heading towards the spiritual path of where we're rising above that. And then we get slammed with social media. And now we're like, it's way worse now for people being worried about all of those, you know, aesthetic things. So it's like understanding that there's a place for everyone and there's an audience for everyone. And I think people gravitate towards what they can relate to. Right. And there's plenty of that. It's not like there's a 10, 46 year old men that are only going to relate to you. And that's it. There's a world of people. So I think we have to just remember that and not get too, you know, cyclops about our own shit.
Hey, like I love, you know, like Patty Griffin's one of my favorite songs. Her best songs are when she's older and she's writing about things. Bonnie Raitt, I saw her.
Oh my God, yes.
Just saw her recently and I couldn't believe how good she was. I was like floored. And she, you know, she just won, I think it was Song of the Year
She won the Grammy that year. And yeah. Also her album went straight to number one in the Billboard charts the day it was released. And fun fact,
yes,
Bonnie Raitt's bass player, Hutch Hutchinson, plays on Paper Hearts.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, when she wrote that song, it was like she would never have written that in her 30s or 20s.
Right, 100%.
Song. So it's like, I look for that. It's like, I don't think there's an expiration date on songwriters for me, because if you can still dig in and find that story to write about, I'm in, and I think every
song,
you know, it's like you can't deny listening to her song at any age and not acknowledging, you know, this is a great song. And especially, like, you know, there's so many, like, hits that come and go, and they just, they don't have the staying power. They're like, marketed like crazy. And then they're not songs that stick around. And then the ones that do are the ones that, like, you almost want to age with, like you could come back listen to it. So it's like, I always like find that, like, yeah, I love a great pop hit. I'll always listen to something and go, that is a well-constructed pop hit. But I find the songs that I gravitate towards more as I get older are the ones that I'm like, you know what? This has staying power. This is not as marketed and successfully pop as these 10 hit songs. But if I had to take these songs into my 50s and 60s, I would only take those songs that the ones that matter. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And actually I notice, you know, I don't know where you get new music from these days, but for me, it's either KCRW, or, you know, Spotify. I should probably come off Spotify, but like the DSPs are sending me what they think I will like. Yes. And sometimes they get it completely wrong, but sometimes they really don't. They get it really right. And oftentimes you're listening to something that just comes up in that feed and you just see a little tiny bit of artwork. You don't even know what that artist or band looks like at all. But it, for me, if that comes up in the car and I like it, I like it, and that's the end of it. I don't really care.
That's what I feel like. I wish more people would think like that, because of what I find is, like, so many people are marketed towards. It's like they're going to like it because they don't have to think about it. But it's like, this is what I love about artists, too. We don't listen to music for the success of the song on the pop charts. We listen to a song if it's going to reach us or not. If it's a singer's voice or it's the words. And it's like, my favorite thing is like driving and discovering a new song.
Where I hear everything.
Oh, it's the best. And there's like some lyric that leaves me like on bated breath. There's something where it's just like, oh my God, I'm living for this moment to just next verse. You know, it's like, those are the songs and the artists that I'm listening for. And it's like, I feel like they're not pushed enough, and I love that you have some avenues to find that, because We need more of those. You know, that's a big, this is why I have a radio show for exactly that. It's like,
I mean, you know, a lot of people are discovering stuff on TikTok and, you know, all of that, but you're only getting a very small piece.
Yep.
You're getting a hook. Like, I know there's been times where like someone said to me, oh my God, this song is like really big on TikTok, you know, check it out. And they're like, oh wait, the bit I know is not yet. Okay, it's coming up. Oh, it's right there.
Yep.
It's just like 20 seconds.
What I love is, so John Mayer's got a serious radio show. It's called John Mayer. And he is constantly promoting female artists.
Really?
All the time. And it's like, this is what artists need to do. I feel like artists have to become the tastemakers, not corporate radio, not the people that are getting...
Oh, God, totally.
Because it's like, if you know, like, there's an artist that you... Like, if Erykah Badu made a playlist of artists that she loved, I would listen to it all.
Right. It's such a good point.
Artists aren't doing that enough. And I feel like...
True.
You know what I mean? It's like, artists are the ones that have the best record collections. Why are they not the DJs on these radios?
Yeah, that's so true. I never thought about that.
Oh, yeah. I've been thinking about it all the time. Because it's like, you know, okay, D'Angelo. You know what I mean? I would have killed to hear what he's listening to and inspired by, because I know that it's people that I'm like, who is that? Who is this? Who are record from? Those are the people that I'm more interested than some corporate record label that's greasing a radio station to play a song 10 times.
Oh, definitely.
You know what I mean? It's like, I want to hear artists that are inspired by other artists and hear what songs those are. So it's like, that's it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So let's play your next song. What do you want to play us next?
Oh, let's do something really different for a second. There is a track that I put out. It's not a full song. It's basically, it's some of my composery type stuff, but it's centered around a Welsh folk song called Tanichlin, which is Fire in the Town. I don't speak Welsh, by the way. I've like learned how to sing a few things. Blame it on the English, not really. So basically today is the 59th anniversary of the disaster that happened in a very small town of Aberfan, where, thousands of tons of coal dust slid down the hill and engulfed a primary school. And this is a very small village. And my uncle... everyone from all the surrounding valleys rushed to try and basically dig people out.
Wow.
And it was 118 children died.
Wow.
And so today's the anniversary. So I made this track a couple of years ago with that in mind. And the video is just about Welsh history, particularly Welsh women. But I feel like it's a good day to just put a little South Wales Welsh vibe in the mix.
Name of the song?
It's called Fire Song.
All right.
It's centered around Tanichlin, which is a Welsh folk song.
Here's Fire Song by SJ.
Thank you.
That was awesome. I got chills from that.
Thank Buddy, you.
What a great song. This is so cool. I want to ask you, this is my tribe of women here because they love hats. I love hats.
Oh my God.
Hats. Those hats are the coolest.
That is like traditional Welsh dress from like the last few hundred years. And they always used to make us dress up like that on St. David's Day. So that was me at the end with the little.
I love it. So tell me, what is it made of? Is it like?
It's usually just felt or wool, you know, but there's, you know, the little lace thing in there somewhere. It's, you know.
Look,
I mean, I've never heard anyone say a Welsh hat.
The whole hat collection all right here. So like, I love hats. I live for hats. So I saw that. I'm like, this is amazing. This is, and it's just like, it just looks like they're just like casually like wearing these top hats, like it's like, yeah.
I know. Even like the coal miners' wives were wearing these hats.
Awesome. What a beautiful video. It looked like your mom and you were in the end of that video.
The last few pictures were my great aunt who just passed.
Wow.
My grandmother, my mother who passed almost 2 years ago, and me and my sister.
Amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And what do you know what the words meant that you were singing?
It's basically fire in the town. So it's sort of, you know, everything's on fire.
Wow.
It's like disaster. It's emergency, disaster kind of thing, which, you know, makes me want to sort of make that tribute to Abervan, even though it wasn't a fire. It was just that town was completely devastated. Like every family lost a child in that disaster. Wow. It was actually featured in The Crown, the TV series where the Queen goes to Wales because this has happened. And it was, you know, one of the few times she went to Wales.
It was beautiful. And you know what? I was just thinking, I'm like, I'm so fascinated with how geography affects melodies. Because
Well, that melody is not the original melody. It might be the original rhythm, but it's tricky. I want to do more of this with the Welsh language. I'm going to need some help, Welsh language speakers out there, because phonetically we are called the land of song, but phonetically it's like it just looks like the cat ran over your keyboard, and it's like how am I going to make this singy? They're not big on vowels. There's always like a Y next to an N and then a double L and a double D next to that. It's crazy.
But cool, because it's like, it just has a sound. There's a certain sound. Like even though you were making something reminiscent, you could hear the history in the vocal.
Yeah. There's a Celtic way of melody writing. Like every culture has its own little thing. And there's definitely a sing-song Celtic storytelling type melodic pulse.
I use the Celtic tuning dadgad a lot with guitar when I write. All of that is very fascinating to hear on a guitar.
Definitely.
It lends itself to, and a lot of it's like there's not crazy leaps in the vocals or the melodies.
No.
That's what makes it so strong, because it matters. The real estate is very like poignant, and I think that's what's cool about those melodies, because lilting folk songs that just resonate. So I think there's something fascinating about it, because
I want to dive in more to that and do, you know, sort of a hybrid of Welsh stuff for the next record.
You're like, but I still want to make pop tunes. I still want to do
I want to do all the things. This is the problem. This is why I don't finish enough things, because I have like too many ideas half finished.
I always find that, like, I just did a record with Tony Levin and I just finished it. And I was just like, we just released it and everything. And I'm like, man, there's a part of me that just wants to jump into another album. And then there's another part of me. It's like, you just worked on a record for a year.
Yeah, yeah.
Just enjoy that stuff is done. But I mean, I think that's part of being an artist. Like, we're always searching. We're always wanting to keep working. We always want to keep.
Yeah. Things are never done.
Yes.
They're never done. Even if you rest for a day and you're like, I'm going to take a few months off, things keep percolating.
Yes. Well, let's play something else. What do you want to play next?
Oh gosh, let's see.
House of Cards.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. It's a slightly different style again. It's moody dark pop.
Love it. All right, here's House of Cards by SJ.
Keeping secrets, and it's more than just a feeling. There's something about the way you need me to believe it. Tell me, what is this game we play? All the things that you don't say, I'm watching them all go down in flames. Telling stories, kings and queens and glory. To hell with everybody else, you're fooling no one but yourself. Round and round and around we go, but you can't hide. Caught in the middle, you're caught in the middle.
Production. Let's talk about those vocals. How those vocals did you lay down? That's awesome.
I always lay a million different vocals. I love vocal stacks. I came up at the end of the 90s, you know, listening to Faith Evans and D'Angelo and Brandy and, you know, all that. So I've always loved stacking vocals. But that EP was written more with TV in mind. You know, so thinking what would work well for end montages and TV shows and things like that. And, you know, lyrically, it was an intentional thing with that EP to make something that might work for TV.
Yeah, it's so hard. It's like sometimes
so hard.
Like, okay, I want to make this for this, but like, it's just never that clean cut and easy. You know what I mean? It's like,
no. And sometimes you do stuff where you're like, I just threw this out there, and that's the thing that gets picked up. Yep. And you've never poured any amount of energy into it.
Yeah,
you never know.
But I think that's what's fascinating about it too. It's like, it's never going to end up the way you think it is, but it's also going to surprise you with what does get, and what even styles of music that you're capable of writing in to even kind of go into those realms to write, you know? So
yeah, that's a good thing. Like, I really like being challenged, and I think doing all like the stuff for Netflix and the TV and film asks, you know, that has stretched me and made me learn how to do things that I didn't think I could do or I didn't know how to do, you know, and then that's just opened up a new scope of things.
Or music or vocals or a combination for that?
Musically, I think. Well, and production and arrangement and all of that, you know, it's just, yeah, it's just I think all levels of things. Yeah,
well, you're just a singer, so don't sleep on that. Like, just putting stuff out there because, I mean, the vocals are great. It's like those stack vocals were money, and I'm sure it will get picked up now, you know, if it wasn't for a show that you were trying to pitch for. Do you usually write in that context where you're like, I want to write for a show? Maybe it's something you just saw and you're like, this can work for something maybe in a second season, or how do you
kind of... Yeah, sometimes. There was a couple of tracks on the EP that Paper Hearts is on. Like, Paper Hearts wasn't written with anything in mind other than what I described earlier. But the rest of the songs were definitely written with, you know, certain visuals and TV stories, inspirations, you know, that way. So it's a combination of things. I think I'm always conscious of, like, you know, being able to make a living, and, you know, when people, not musicians, because we've never done this, but when people talk about diversifying their portfolio, you know, I think about that with music, because even though I came up with a major record deal when I was younger, and I was told you have to be one thing. People have to be able to understand what it is that you are and have your gimmick and do your thing. And it's like, most musicians and songwriters I know love all kinds of things. And so also now, doing all kinds of things, you have a greater capacity to make a living.
Right.
From doing many different things, you know, not to say you have to be master of all trades. I mean, you know, all trades, master of nothing, but do diversify what you're doing.
Right. Well, it's also very tunnel vision, the A&R, to say you need to be this and only this because it's one dimensional. It's like, what if that thing doesn't hit and you put all your eggs into this?
Right.
Really,
that's proven by people like her and Lana Del Rey. Yep. They were in deals and they were different iterations of what they ended up being known for now. They tried a couple different things before this one hit, and it usually happened after they'd left the first A&R that they were with, you know.
I look forward to many more songs from you. I hope you keep
producing. I appreciate that.
We'll find you if they want to find you online.
There's my website, which is SJ Official, or probably Instagram is probably, you know, the best way. Just hit me up on there for any collabs. I need to be better at putting out more, just putting out with people, just putting out more stuff in general.
There's no point like keeping it in the vault, like just
gathering digital dust.
Yeah, like what on your hard drive, nothing. So put it out there. It's like I'm like, why am I holding on to this? Let's put it out there. Release it. So
yes, it's okay. So true.
That's the message of the day.
I love it, and I needed that. And thank you. I know we were trying to get together before, but actually, this was perfectly timed because I needed that boost today. So thank you.
Amazing. I look forward to hearing all of your music on Netflix shows and whatnot. Check out SJ at Instagram at SJAE Official, and check her out on all major platforms. Samantha, thanks for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood.
Thank you.
We'll have you back sooner, I promise. We'll have you back. Between your schedule and ours, we'll make it work somehow.
Okay? That'll get me into gear to make a new record. I was like, I have to make a new record.
There you go. See, now you got a new deadline. And I know you're low on deadlines.
Love it.
Awesome. On behalf of Samantha, Sam, and myself, we'll see you guys next week. Peace, love, and take care of yourself.
Cheers.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.